Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Come with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is a great passage about a guy who made an impact. He did something so small, maybe it wasn't small, but he did something that he thought in his life was insignificant. But it changed everything. I mean, it changed the world. This one guy, who thinks I'm talking about Jesus right now? I ain't. This is about a guy that you don't even know. This is about an Italian guy. Any Italians here? Anyone of Italian stock in the room? Half? Yeah, of course you are. Half Italian. You can take great pride in this. His name is Cornelius. Everyone say Cornelius. Cornelius. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Underline that in your Bible. You can tap on it on your Bible app if you've got it. If you don't have it, you need to download YouVersion Bible app. You can tap on it. You can color it green, yellow, or blue. It's up to you. You have free will in these matters. One day at about 3 PM, Cornelius had a vision. And he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. Because that would be scary. Would you agree? You're having a pray in the arvo, big angel just wings, tucks him back. Scotty. Scotty. Oh, mate, you'd be packing yourself. Says, Cornelius, he stared at him. What is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? The angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor. Wow. If you're an underliner, underline that. If you're not an underliner, turn to the person next to you and underline in their Bible. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have busted something in the supernatural, have broken through something that was a barrier until this point. Your prayers, your consistent prayer and your consistent giving to the poor has come up before the nostrils, a memorial offering before God. Now send men to a place called Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. Oh, it's good. I like this story. I like Cornelius. He's a good man. His prayer and his giving to the poor has come up. The first point, if you're writing notes, and I've already told you, you should write notes, is this. Number one, decide that you want it. If you want to make a difference in this world, you want to make a lasting impact, you have to decide that you want it enough. And then having decided that you want it, write this down. Anchor your life in godly habits. Anchor your world in godly habits. Like just decide, this is who I am. This is what I do. The Bible app on here, just make it a godly habit. If it's not a godly habit, do this. Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri. Set an alarm for 7 a.m. Read your Bible. Oh, it's not speaking to me. Okay, it's set. If it's not a habit yet, make it a habit. It's really easy. You've all got these incredible little computers in your pocket and you can make godly habits just like that, as simple as that. And then don't just keep pressing the sleep button as you want to sleep. And maybe for you, don't, you know, if you're not a 7 a.m., I know some of you are young people and uni students and 7 a.m. is just devil time. So maybe for you it's 9 a.m. or 10 or 11 a.m. But whatever time works for you, you can set a godly habit. I love this guy, Cornelius. He anchored his life. He says he and his whole family were known for their generosity and their prayer. That was just who they were. You have to surround godly decisions with a framework of discipline. You know, in life, I don't want to burn bright. and then burn up. Has anyone ever known somebody like that? You know, they just exploded onto the scene. Maybe I'm thinking of a young footballer who, you know, explodes onto the scene, kicks four goals on debut, and you never see him again. Because something, like, he didn't have the discipline, didn't do the training, didn't, whatever. You know, he wasn't able to sustain that sort of inner talent, that gifting that he had with godly discipline. For us, we have to build into our life prayer. Everyone say prayer. Generosity. If somebody says, hey, I like Mitch, right? I like Mitch. You know, I hear that about you, Mitch. We've shaken hands. I don't think, hi, I'm Dave. Hey, Mitch, now we've met. See, but all what I hear about Mitch is, I like that guy. I like that guy. Everyone seems to like me. Would you agree with that? Yes. 8 people said yes, Mitch. Isn't that amazing? You know, what I like about Mitch is that he generously gives up his gift and his talent to make our videos look sick. So we look really good on the, as a church and the youth. You did those, right? Yeah. Okay, please nod. I'm assuming that's why I like it. But anyway, but see, there's something that when you're generous, people go, I like that guy. He's generous. I'd like that. I'd like for somebody to say, oh, I like Scotty. He's generous. He's really kind. He's really generous. He's giving of his time. You have to build godly habits around generosity. Build godly habits around your Bible. Build godly habits around church. Just make church part of what you do. Just what you do. I don't need a reason to go to church. I don't need to know that Pastor Nick's preaching to come to be there next Sunday. If Pastor Nick's preaching or Pastor Nick's not preaching, I'm here next Sunday because that's just what we do. We've built godly habits. Are you with me on that? Build godly habits around positive talk, like mind your tongue. The Bible says that the tongue is a fire and it's an evil that no man can tame. Wow. That's pretty full on. It will take you where you want it if you let it. It's this thing, those who love it will eat of its fruit, is what it says. The tongue, practice positive talk. Now, oh boy, you're getting into positive confession. No, I'm getting into Bible confession. Just practice, be a person who just looks for the bright side of the street in life. Be somebody who just looks for the good in other people. Like, I mean, I know it's easy to just sit there and gripe and moan and whinge and complain about everyone else. I mean, have you driven on the roads since COVID? It's a nightmare out there, isn't it? Everybody's nuts. But the world is full of people that we could easily just wipe them out. And yet I believe that God is calling us to have hope for humanity. For us to have belief in people, for us to look at others and say, listen, there's a lot of mud there, there's a lot of mud, but underneath that mud, there's gold. Didn't Jesus say that? Hey, there's a man walks along in a field and he stubs his toe, he looks down, there's nothing there because 1,000 other people have walked in that field before, but something in him says there's something good under there. He gets down, he clears away the mud, maybe has to spit in the dirt just to make a bit of mud, has to wipe it away and he finds treasure. There's treasure in your neighbor. There's treasure in your husband. There's treasure in your friend. There's treasure in people who currently are covered in mud. You're a treasure hunter. I just followed that guy on Instagram, Bondi Treasure Hunter. He's interesting. Goes and tosses magnets into rivers and drags out safes. It's pretty good. You should follow him as well. Maybe don't. I don't know what he's like. I've just followed him, so maybe don't listen to me. But I don't want to be a person that burns bright and then burns out. We got a little video. Came. Can we show that? Show that one. I like this video. You've probably all seen it before, but I think it's pretty hilarious. It's the fireworks display that malfunctioned. A 25-minute fireworks display in 18 seconds.
This is insane.
That's all right. I'm going home. I love that. I mean, for me, Anne loves fireworks. I just find them so boring. Anyone with me? Yeah, just so repetitive. It's like, ooh. So for me, like a 30-second fireworks display is excellent because I go, wow, check it. So good. Let's go. We're done. That was the perfect fireworks display for me. I don't want to be that guy, spiritually speaking. I don't want to be that guy that starts burning hot, maybe goes to January camp with the youth and young ads, or goes to a conference or watches something online and gets all full of God. And then by Tuesday afternoon, I'm just like, nah, I'm just lying in a blob doing nothing. We've got to form godly habits so we don't, like, we burn bright, but we don't burn out. Okay, everybody, pull out your phone again, unlock it, and go to your settings. You know where settings button is? If you don't know where your settings button is, just nudge a young person. Go to your settings, all right? Scroll down. Nick, you're going to do this? I'm going to see what you're godly at. Now, listen, this is a place of no judgment. I'm not judging you, Glenn. I'm not judging you. But you can judge yourself, okay? That's biblical right there. I'm not going to judge you. Now, don't show anyone. Go down to that little thing. If you're on an Apple, it's a green thing that says battery. Right? Have you ever gone to it? I got to find mine. Battery. Go down to battery. Can you find it? It will pop up. And then if you're on an Apple, select last 10 days. Let's not go the last 24 days. Let's see what your habits are. Let's see what your habits are. Now, you might want to shield your phone for the person next to you. Right? Who here can you see how much time you're spending on your phone? Who here is over 2 hours a day on your phone? Yeah, right. You don't have to raise your hand if you want to, but you will. Who's over three? Who's over four? Five? Six? All right. You want to see a scary bit? Scroll down a bit further. What's your top thing? What's your top thing? What's next? It'll tell you a percentage. Here's one for you. Now, judge yourself. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you. Where's your Bible app? Oh, paper. I read the paper Bible. Sure. No, okay. I believe you. I believe you, Steph. You look deeply offended. I'm sorry. If you read a paper Bible, you are excused from this, okay? Paper Bible, yes. Listen, judge yourself. On this, we're about to go into prayer and fasting as a church, right? Why don't you make a godly decision to try and take your Bible app, if that's the way that you read the Word or listen to the Word, why don't you try and take that a couple of places up? Like, let's not be realistic about this. You don't need to go, I will never watch TikTok again. Anyone? Who was up to an hour of TikTok doing the death scroll on TikTok? No one's admitting it. Andy? No. You're ish? All right, okay, all right. Well, hey, I've said it's no judgment, but you know, judge yourself. Here's the thing, as you get into that death scroll, whether it's Insta or TikTok or YouTube or whatever socials you're interested in, you get on that thing and it just soaks up your time. How about make a decision for the fast? For the next 21 days of fasting, why don't you make a decision to really lift your godly spiritual habits? Like, begin to build structure around this decision that you've made in your heart. You make a great decision. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to pursue Jesus, as our theme for the year is. Well, now begin to build structure around it. Number two. That's number one. Wow. I got no time. But let's go. Just number one, decide that you want it, build structure around it. Number two, pray dangerous prayers. I'm just going to go quickly with Cornelius. Acts 10, verse 9. It says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city. So that's as these three men that Cornelius had sent. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, went up on the roof to pray. Then there's this incredible thing that happens. Peter, so Cornelius, that's great, Nick. Cornelius has had this vision from God saying, you've got to go and see this Jewish man. And then Peter, who's a Jew, and they don't really generally mix, like Jews and Gentiles don't mix. Peter has this vision and it says, eat the crayfish, basically. Now, if you know anything about Jews, they don't eat crayfish. And Peter goes, oh, I'm not eating crayfish. He goes, no, don't say it's unholy to touch what I've said is holy. And then there's at that instant, a knock at the door. And there's three men come from Cornelius. And they say, hey, would you be willing to breach your Jewish custom and come and speak to this Gentile, to this Italian man? Can you see that God's at work here? So here we go. Was it praying a dangerous prayer? I want to encourage you to pray dangerous prayers in March this year. Like for your 21 days, pray dangerous prayers. What do I mean by that? I mean pray prayers that it's going to change your life if they happen. Like pray prayers, pray for healing in people. Because when you see healing, it changes the way that you see God and changes people's lives. Pray for growth, maybe in the young adults ministry or the kids ministry or the youth ministry or whatever you're involved in at church. Pray for growth. I remember a number of years ago when my wife and I were running the youth ministry, I began to pray these dangerous prayers. Pray, God, grow our ministry. We had a certain number of kids and I was praying, God, grow this ministry, grow this ministry. And you know what happened, Levi? It grew like a lot, a scary amount. And then I started complaining and whinging to God and saying, God, it's so hard because I've got all these kids and we've got all these indigenous kids and we've got all these rough nuts and we've got all these alcoholics and we've got all these, you know, flirts and we've got all this stuff going on. God, it's so hard. I remember being distinctly in the car and I felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me. It's like, this can all end anytime, you know. I'm like, when you hear a threat from the Holy Spirit, you listen, right? It wasn't a threat. It was an offer. You can bail. You can pull the parachute, the ripcord, any time you want and get off this journey. But having heard from the Holy Spirit and then made a decision of, man, we're going to do this and we're going to do this as well as we can, it was liberating. Like we just got pumped and we just saw it grow and grow and grow. Pray dangerous prayers. Pray for healing in people. Pray for salvation in people. Pray for that person you've been working on for ages, Pete in the primary school. That person you just go, they just seem like a closed shop. Keep praying. Pray dangerous prayers and get ready. Get ready when things bust. So, number one, decide you want it. Number two, pray dangerous prayers. Oh, I got time. Whoa, let's quickly throw it up. Quickly throw that up, Cayman. Thanks, buddy. That's that graphic. This is amazing. Young people, this one's for you. Parents, this one's for you. Grandparents, this one's for you. Here we go. This is out in December last year, November last year. This is the Barna Institute, which is an incredible organization. The Harvest is right. This is Aussie teenagers, Aussie young people. 59% of Aussie teenagers were open to reading the Bible. That is, they hold a high view of the Bible and occasionally read it. Maddie Bird, 59%. Holy moly. Look at this. 14% of non-Christian teens, that's kids who don't attend youth on Friday, don't attend kids program. 14% believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. 10% believe that Jesus is God in human form. 9% agree that Jesus wants to have a personal relationship. That's non-Christians. That's people who are out there. Mate, if you have anything of the heart of Jesus, that should motivate you. You've got to go cast some fishing lines in the water, because what I do know is that you never catch a fish if you never throw a line in the water. Is that right, Chris? You're a better fisherman than me. Yeah, and I'm terrible, but you might be just as terrible. We know that if you don't cast a line, if you don't open your mouth, if you don't speak up, if you don't say when somebody says tomorrow, hey, where were you yesterday? What did you do on the weekend? If you don't mention church or youth or how good it was, then you know what? You never have that little moment, that little door that cracks open and somebody has an opportunity to ask you a question about it. Guys, open your mouth. Get involved, because young people are out there and they are looking. They are hoping one day to bump into somebody who says they're a Christian, acts like a Christian, and loves Jesus. You might want to take a screenshot of that. That's going to be something you want to remind yourself. Number three, do something about it. I'm about to finish in the next 5 minutes. Do something about it. Cornelius passed on the message from God and said, go. He did something about it. Likewise, Peter hears the knock at the door and obeys. Initially, he was reluctant, but then he goes with them. Do something about it. Like when you hear God say, come on, up, rise up, do something, pray dangerous prayers. Do something about it. Don't just sit around. The reason that I don't like the word revival, which I know that maybe that's jarring for some people, I really don't, because I think revival, that word, just means that some people use it as an excuse to do nothing. Because they sit around going, well, God, when you crack the pulpit, when the Holy Spirit fairy dust falls from the sky, we won't be able, you will compel us. Isn't that right, Craig? They'll be compelled. I don't like that. Like God gave his feet, gave his mouth, gave his hands, gave his heart, gave his brain. He says, go. That's the Great Commission. Like that's last Jesus' last words was, go ye into all the world and make disciples. That's, everyone say make. He didn't say go into all the world and gather or go into all the world and find disciples, just recruit them to your church. Go into the world and make disciples. Makes a sweat word, makes a work word, makes an effort word, makes a phone call word, makes a text word, makes a whatever your gifting is and however you operate and the people around you. That's making disciples. I'm going to skip that. I haven't got time. Okay. Number four, faith plus action equals breakthrough. Cornelius had a dream and acted on it. The servants were given a job and acted on it. Peter had a vision and acted on it. The family were instructed to attend. They acted on it. They all turned up. They heard Peter preach. Peter was invited to speak. He acted on it. Can anyone see a commonality here? All of these relatively small acts. Knock at the door, go. Invited to speak, speak. Invited to hear someone speak, okay. All these relatively small acts, and suddenly this happens, last scripture. In verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, he explained Jesus and how he fitted into the scriptures, how he's fitted into the Torah, the Old Testament as we know it. The Holy Spirit came on the whole building, everyone who was there that heard the message. Even the Jewish believers, circumcised believers who had come with Peter, they were shocked. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Just ask me one last question. Is anybody here a Jew? Anybody here a Jew? Any Jewish people? Okay, so one Jew. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have contributed to us. Everybody else? Cornelius is your great, 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 great to about times 50 grandfather of the faith. Until this point, there had been no Gentiles saved and filled with the Spirit. Until this moment, when Cornelius acted in faith, when his prayers and his giving came up before the Father, the Father acted, it cracked open the whole Gentile world, and that means you just nudge the person next to you, wherever you're from, whatever your background, we can be thankful that one guy did something that rippled through eternity. What are you going to do this March that could ripple through? Now, we can't judge it in time. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 100 years. But what are you going to do? What godly habits are you going to build now that you put your hand up and say, God, I love you. I'm passionate about you. I'm going to build godly habits around me. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to do something that might ripple through eternity. Oh, Dave, can I call you in 6 months? Because I've got to take some time to think about this. That's nonsense. Start right now. It starts with a decision. Starts with a decision. Starts with a godly habit. Starts with setting an alarm on your phone. Starts with sending yourself a quick reminder, phone Jake. Starts with setting a reminder that says, follow up that person. Starts with setting a reminder right now, right at this moment. I'll give you 5 seconds to do it. Someone in their heart, they're going, I've got to phone my dad. We're estranged. I've got to phone my dad. Everyone, close your eyes right now. I'm going to give you 5 seconds just to pray. What does this mean for you? What does this look like for you? I don't want it to be words. What does it look like to you? What are you building right now? That yes, you'll be bright, but you're not going to burn out. It's going to be bright, but it's not going to burn out. It's going to be bright and it's going to last through the years and through eternity. I talked about those kids when we grew. I look back now 15 years later and I see engineers and pastors and missionaries and nurses and chaplains and all amongst them, submarine mechanics. And oh, they were tough work. They were hard work. But there's a ripple through eternity from a moment in time. Come on, get ripply. Shine bright. Let those ripples go. Open your mouth. Be loving, be kind, be generous, be giving. Be the best version of you, not for you, but for Jesus, because that's who he called you to be. If tonight that's you, and you just know, God, I need to change some things. I need to do some things different. This is a great moment to start. Prayer and fasting starts tomorrow. Start it tonight. Get an early run up. If that's you tonight, you just feel the Holy Spirit impressing on you something that I haven't named. Maybe I have. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's change of habit. Maybe it's an addiction that you're struggling with. Whatever it is. But right now you're saying, God, I'm going to give this 21-day thing. I'm not going to let this just glide past and get to next Sunday and go, oops, I missed the first week. Oh, well, I'll do 14 days. Start it tonight. Start this week. Let's go. If that's you, quickly raise your hand in the air and let me pray for you. Yeah, good. Hands everywhere. Awesome. Father, I pray for every person whose heart is lifted up towards you, God. They're saying, Father, I'm ready for change. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to get serious about this, Lord. Father, I want to see miracles in my world, in my realm, Lord. I want to see signs and wonders happening around my world, Lord God. I want to hear just other people's stories, Lord. I want to be part of those things. Lord, I'd love to see salvation happening in my family, in my friendship group, in the people that I sit with at lunch as much as the people that I sit with at church. Father God, I pray, let this next 21 days be dedicated to you in a fresher way. Lord, even as I see my own godly disciplines marching up that list, Father, even as I build great habits in my life, Lord, I pray that there would be salvation, miracles, signs and wonders added to me, Lord. Just around me, they just become the norm in Jesus' name.